This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Neurothera from Claire Labs. Your brain's complex metabolism requires many different nutrients for optimal performance. Neurothera is a broad-spectrum neuronutrition formula that supports the central nervous system and cognitive capacity. Used daily, Neurothera supports mental clarity and cognitive function. It provides the essential building blocks for optimal brain health. For more information and to purchase Neurothera, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about a subject, it's really a subject that we just keep revisiting again and again and again because it's such a powerful paradigm. It's about a vitamin that we once thought was a bit player in the vitamin pantheon. It was maybe a little helpful for bones, but for not much more. Well, there's been a revolution in our understanding about vitamin D, and today we're going to talk to the guru of vitamin D. He's Dr. John Cannell. Dr. Cannell is founder and CEO of the Vitamin D Council, which he started in 2003. And since then, he has sparked a tremendous amount of awareness about the benefits of vitamin D, not just for bone, of course, but for so many other things. It seems to be ubiquitous in its benefits. And he's written 29 peer-reviewed scientific papers on vitamin D alone, 1,600 blogs. He speaks frequently across the United States on the subject. He is an MD, and he's been in the past a general practitioner, emergency physician, and a psychiatrist. So he comes to us with a wealth of experience. And so it's a pleasure to have you back again with us, Dr. Cannell. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
First of all, you know, before we get into the benefits of vitamin D, you know, I really want to address the elephant in the room, which, as you know, is that there's been a lot of pushback on vitamin D. You know, vitamin D is one of those things that, you know, there was a long time it was ignored, and then all of a sudden it was, just a panacea kind of thing. And then people started to push back against it, saying, oh, you know, it's not what it's cracked up to be. Its benefits are exaggerated. There can be toxicity and so on. And I think we're a little bit in that phase right now where there's been some pushback against vitamin D. In fact, you've penned a blog recently, a couple of months ago, entitled, Are Those Who Disagree With Us From the, quote, Dark Side? And you say that the dark side is at it again. In their latest assault on vitamin D, the Mayo Clinic authors, Galo et al., promote fear of a simple, safe, effective, and OTC vitamin D. So tell us about that, please.
Well, there's no dark side to this. I mean, when I was, as Shakespeare said, when I was in my salad days, it's not a great reference, but when you're young and inexperienced, you think like conspiracies everywhere and you kind of do things. So when I was in my salad days, yeah, I thought it was a conspiracy, this and that. But I'm 70 now and I realize that almost all the things I thought were conspiracy were simply human incompetence.
Right. No, that's true, because you know, we tend to think that the forces of that are arrayed against us are so organized and effectively coordinated, and that, you know, is often not the case. They're just sort of bumbling along like the rest of us.
Right. I mean, the drug companies aren't, you know, they're not withholding anything. They just don't think there's anything to withhold. They don't think it's important. They don't see it as as any kind of a threat. They're just not interested. I mean, that's all. So, I mean, people think it's some dark side, but you know, Ron, I've had just a revelation in the last week. For almost 15 years, I've been talking and going on radio interviews, et cetera, et cetera, hundreds of times. And I'm always asked, well, how does vitamin D work? I mean, you're telling me that it's involved in cancer and multiple sclerosis and dental caries and eczema and infertility, et cetera, et cetera. How's that possible? And I, you know, I tried to explain, but it's now crystal clear to me. And it came when I was praying. But this is how vitamin D works. Everybody knows that DNA, right? They're stuff of life. It's your central processing unit. It tells, it directs the body what to do. It controls life. You're living right now because your DNA is making what it has to make and not making what it's not supposed to make, et cetera, et cetera. Well, vitamin D has only one job in the human body. It tells your DNA what to do, where to do it, when to do it, and when to stop doing it. That's it.
And the DNA is such an important checkpoint. Yeah, that's a really interesting way of looking at it. And the DNA, of course, and yeah, we keep using this word, it is ubiquitous. It's everywhere, and it controls everything. Yeah. And that's how, you know, it almost sounds like too good to be true. You know, how can some just a natural substance play a role in so many areas? Well, it's really there at that choke point where the DNA is expressed as functional protein synthesis throughout the body, and that's why it may have so many impacts.
Right. Exactly. I mean, if you think about and understand, DNA, that's just amazing. So, it's amazing what it does, and it's amazing how it does it. It's amazing that it, does it all the time, and vitamin D is not really a vitamin. I mean, it's not a vitamin. I mean, it's you can say it's a lot of things, but it's simply a messenger. It's just a messenger system. It's unclear exactly, where this, direction to the DNA comes from, but most suspect it's an inherent feedback control system within the tissue. So in your brain, if you're getting a little depressed and your tyrosine hydroxylase enzyme is not kicking in, and that's a vitamin D enzyme. So something in your brain will signal the tyrosine hydroxylase gene to upregulate tyrosine hydroxylase to increase it. So your monoamines in your brain are increased. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a local feedback control mechanism.
The catecholamines, these so-called feel-good neurotransmitters are governed by that.
Right. Yeah, and if you multiply that times maybe 4,000 or 5,000 genes all over your body, that's what's going on.
So, I'm going to harken back to, again, elephant in the room, there's been pushback. One of the stalwart foes of vitamin supplementation, who is a guy in New Zealand, you're well familiar with him, it's Dr. Mark Boland, who has written what is termed a meta-analysis, and it's entitled, kind of a bland title here, The Effect of Vitamin D Supplementation on Skeletal Vascular Cancer Outcomes, a meta-analysis. Yeah. And what he's written there is basically, and the media has taken headlines from this, our findings suggest that vitamin D supplementation with or without calcium does not reduce skeletal or non-skeletal outcomes in individuals by more than 15%. So he's basically, the effects are trivial. So, all these hoopla about vitamin D being good for this, that, and the other thing. What's wrong with that line of attack?
I'm not sure there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I was thinking about that. Where did we all get the idea that, that vitamin D is just crucial for bone and that, it's the be-all and end-all, for bone? I'm not sure where that came from, but his main thesis that it doesn't do much for bone mineral density, I think is true. Mm-hmm. In terms of falls, when you look at his studies, I think that's a potential problem because it's just a dosage, dosage error in terms of if you assess those studies like so many others.
So he's not using enough vitamin D in some of these studies?
This was the problem. It was how it was reported.
Yeah.
See, what he says, it doesn't look like it's very important for bone mineral density. How is it reported? It's not important for anything. Mm-hmm. Yep. Big difference.
Right.
So that's just and that's on our radar. That's just press incompetence, mm-hmm. which is rampant in vitamin D.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
The incompetence of the press. Yeah.
And in fact, there was the latest attack on vitamin D, as you're well aware, came against one of our colleagues, Dr. Michael Hollick, who is, I guess he's up in Boston, and has written extensively about vitamin D. He's a, you know, really acknowledged researcher on this subject, written review articles for the New England Journal of Medicine, for example. And he is being attacked not because he's wrong or that vitamin D doesn't work, but because they say he's made a lot of money promoting vitamin D, that he's gotten grants from companies that make vitamin D and from the suntan industry, and therefore his work is suspect. What say you? But by the way, have you vastly enriched yourself with the vitamin D on the vitamin D bandwagon? Are you calling us from your mansion in Bel Air, California, or
no, not really. first, Michael Hollick. Like many academics, successful academics, Michael has patents, and he's got all, you know, he's discovered ways of testing for vitamin D. He's discovered assays. There's a whole list of things. And the way, as I understand it, the way the American system works, if you can do that and you discover it, then you should profit from it. That's what he's done. But the idea that he's done it for money and he's directed this whole movement is ludicrous on his face. I mean, like they said in that article that the Endocrine Society's recommendations that Hollick just told those 10 other vitamin D scientists what to say and what to think and what to do. And if you know those 10 or know of them, it's just silly.
Yeah.
I mean, if Hollick tried that, they'd probably do the opposite.
Well, you know, frankly, it argues against the, you know, enterprise and profit motive in medical discovery because, you know, as you well know, you know, people who win Nobel Prizes are up for grants. Their laboratories are funded. They themselves receive awards. And, you know, innovation is rewarded in America. Is that necessarily bad? I mean, I actually, the amounts of money they're talking about here, he's relatively a piker compared to some of the people who make literally hundreds of millions of dollars from, say, vaccines, for example. You know, they just make out like bandits and, you know, make a few hundred thousand dollars in vitamin D advocacy. That's considered a, you know, something that undermines your credibility. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know either. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. In terms of Michael's, you know, greed and avarice, you know, if he has some, like when he does, I'm sure, so do I, so do you, so does everybody in the whole world that I've ever met to some degree or another, that they have that, we have that. But, for example, he is really passionately involved in something that's, that people really don't know much about. And that's that, that every year in the United States, about, 1,000 families, or so, are, devastated by, when their infant is found with multiple fractures and they can't figure out why this infant has 20 fractures all through his body. And so, of course, they call in the child abuse experts people and they say it's the parents, they must be done it, and they charge the parents with felony abuse and take the infant away. And Michael, for 10 years, has been going around saying, no, 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 this is metabolic bone disease, this is calm down, this is, you know, et cetera. And you know how much he's charged for that? For a 300 expert court appearances?
I imagine not a lot.
Nothing. Oh. He does it all pro bono.
It's his cause célèbre.
Even if you're, even if you're Jeff Bezos, and it happens to you, Michael doesn't charge you. Hmm. He doesn't charge you because he's very interested in this. So I think he's discovered something in doing it. And that a lot of these kids do have rickets and metabolic bone disease, but many of them have this kind of rare form of hyper flexibility disorder that is sort of unknown. People don't talk about it. They don't know anything about it. And I think that's interesting. But what's really interesting to me, of course, is that he does it for free. In terms of timing of the New York Times article, Michael and I had Michael and I published a paper a year ago in a very good journal about this whole issue of multiple fractures, and it caused a firestorm among the child abuse expert people. Mm-hmm. And they wrote in and they threatened El Salvador with a boycott, all kinds of stuff.
So my take on that is they wanted to demonstrate that it really was a social problem, that it was like, it sort of empowered the Childhood Protective Services to take these kids away. But when they found that there was a nutritional explanation, it sort of undermined their authority, that their ability to intervene in these families, and literally strip the kids away.
Yeah, they did. And anyway, all of a sudden, it wasn't the publisher contacting me about this, about responding to these letters. It was the publisher, and pretty soon it was their El Salvador legal department.
Ooh.
And I went back and forth, and the child abuse people did not want me to publish anything else. And El Salvador decided in early July, they sent me a letter saying, mm-hmm. we were going to publish it. And
that's
a
courageous.
Week later, a week later, then the New York Times hit piece on Halleck appeared. So they couldn't really hit me because I don't have any name like Halleck does. So they chose Michael. I mean, that's what I think happened. I don't know because I don't like conspiracy theories, but the timing is hard.
It could also be a reprisal for Michael's advocacy of tanning, because he's certainly flown in the face of the dermatology industry, and also the suntan lotion industry, which is a pretty powerful lobby, just using SPF formulas and, hiding from the sun. There's a lot of money to be made in protecting people from sun, and he's been outspoken in suggesting that people get some sun and not use as much slather on as much cream.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Who knows? I mean, it could be that. I just don't know. I mean, it just could be. It just happened at that time. I'm not sure. But at any rate, it's too bad because Michael's a fabulous scientist, and I think it's terrible.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. So here goes. Please listen up. Your brain's complex metabolism requires many different nutrients for optimum performance. Excessive release of adrenaline and cortisol, plus environmental exposures and oxygenation, may be impacting your alertness, memory, and other vital functions. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a broad-spectrum neuronutrition formula that supports the central nervous system and cognitive capacity. It's NeuroThera from Claire Labs. NeuroThera provides balanced neuronutrition. Used daily, NeuroThera supports mental clarity and cognitive function. It promotes blood, oxygen, and glucose delivery to the brain and helps protect against oxidative stress and inflammation. NeuroThera provides the essential building blocks for optimal brain health. I believe in NeuroThera so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Brain Health Protocol. For more information and to purchase NeuroThera, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. Now back to our guest, Dr. John Cannell. Well, let's move on to more upbeat subjects. Vitamin D, there are a lot of skeptics out there, but let's talk about the latest revelations about the benefits of vitamin D. I think one of the biggest stories that has appeared lately is the correlation between vitamin D deficiency and breast cancer. Can you talk to us about that?
In early June, a group of good scientists, led by Professor Garland at UC San Diego, published a good paper in an excellent journal, PLOS One, that basically showed that if women keep their blood levels above 60 nanograms per milliliter, they reduce their chance of developing breast cancer by 80%. That is, if it's above 60, you have 1/5 the risk of getting it as opposed to lower.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, the paper pretty much showed that if you keep your level above 70, you pretty much prevent breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the paper was just revolutionary. It wasn't reported on anywhere, really.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Well, you know, you've got all these groups that are looking for the. I'm sorry, you've got all these groups that are searching for the cure, and they're looking for high tech drugs. You know, immunotherapy, and you know,
exactly.
I even see TV ads for the most expensive drugs, drugs that cost literally hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and that don't necessarily cure people, but kind of prolong survival. I think that's one definition of a successful drug. And yet, vitamin D doesn't get any press.
Some of those breast cancer drugs, it's not 100,000, it's just a million a year.
Yeah.
And they prolong the life of breast cancer patients by 30 to 40 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is, they prolong their suffering and agony is what they do.
Yeah, that could well be. Well, okay. So you know, one question that comes up is, you know, when you're trying to hike your vitamin D levels, and you've written a lot on this, you know, the theory is that paleo man, you know, spent a lot of time outdoors unclothed, you know, so we got a lot of sun and we have a natural mechanism for making vitamin D in our skin. But modern man wears clothes and we live in northern climes. So is it really equivalent to take vitamin D pills in lieu of sunshine? Some people think that, you know, tanning and getting sun is a superior way of getting your vitamin D levels up.
Yeah, I mean, some people think that the data on it's really not, you know, not too good. I mean, as a general rule, I think it's always best to err on the side of, you know, the whatever nature intended. But the problem is to get enough vitamin D from the sun. You get casual sun exposure at lunchtime with a short sleeve shirt and a short set does not do it.
Mm-hmm.
It won't get your level up. It just doesn't. If you're going to do it, you have to be a paleolithic about it. You have to take your clothes off and walk around and look for food or lie in the sun. Now, if you do that, it doesn't take long. Thing, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes in the sun, 10 minutes on each side. Yeah, you can do it that way. But who can do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who in the world can do that?
Yeah, unless you're, I don't know, a movie star or something. Even they have to sometimes go to the studio and, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm retired. I mean, I'm 70. I live close to the beach. I could do it, but I'm just too busy to do it. So.
I hear you.
And by the way, you mentioned sunbeds, Ron.
Yeah.
What sunbeds are the equivalent of sunbathing at the equator at about 5,000 feet of altitude.
Okay.
It's that's the old fashioned low pressure sunbeds. The high pressure UVA stuff. That's I don't do that, but certainly those old fashioned low pressure UV beds are fine. Just be aware that it's not the sun you're dealing with. This is the sun's angry cousin you're dealing with, so be careful.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that there really is an argument to be made that you can accelerate skin aging through overexposure to those artificial rays, but that will increase your D. So you've done extensive work really kind of making people more aware of the safety of high-dose vitamin D supplementation, of the necessity of high-dose vitamin D supplementation to achieve these levels, which we think are protective, you know, 50, 60 and up in terms of levels of vitamin D. So, you know, can you give us some statistics on that? You know, say somebody shows up and they got a vitamin D of 20. What's it take to get their vitamin D up to into the optimal range on average?
You mean dosage?
Dosage, yeah.
Supplements, yeah. About anywhere from 125 to 250 micrograms a day. The dose of vitamin D is real, should be familiar to doctors. It's almost identical to Synthroid, which shouldn't confuse anyone because it's like thyroid. It's it's a hormone and it binds to similar receptors. So it's the same. And you know, when you practiced, it was 1.125 to maybe 3.75 Synthroid, something like that. It varied with everybody, and vitamin D is exactly the same. So
can you translate to IUs? Can you translate to IUs? Because a lot of people still use the IU designation, that they're trying to get rid of that.
Yeah, 125 micrograms is 5,000 units. 250 micrograms is 10,000 units.
Okay. Got
so
it.
Your question to me is like, say, would you ask me, well, how much thyroid do I have to take if I need to take it? How much? Yeah, you can't do it. You have to measure the blood level, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Same with vitamin D.
And I think people respond differently too.
Or 10. Yeah, it's genetically, highly genetically determined, like thyroid. So you can take, it's safe to take 5,000 units and then have your blood tested and see where you are, 10,000 units. Because if you start, if you test on nothing, you'll be low 95% of the time, and then you just have to test again. If you take, 125 or 250 micrograms a day for 2 months and then test, that might be the last test you need. So.
Right. Right. Okay, this is a good point at which to pause because our listeners know we divide these podcasts into two parts. So we got a lot more to talk about. We're going to talk about some specific applications of vitamin D to immunity, to autoimmunity, bone health, and so on. We're going to tackle that in part two with really America's vitamin D guru. He's founder and CEO of the Vitamin D Council. By the way, let's give a shout out to the Vitamin D Council. Where can people get information?
Well, the best way is just to go to our website. Just search Vitamin D Council, one word, .org, and we're there. And hopefully our donate button is working. I just found out yesterday that it might not have been working for the last couple of months, which might explain why we're not getting any donations.
Okay, that could be part of it. But by the way, let me put a word in for that because that's a really, really important initiative. This is not some huge profit-making entity. This is a volunteer activity that can have such a profound impact on the health of Americans, and we really want to support it. So vitamindcouncil.org, click on the donate button, make your small contribution, and you'll be contributing. You'll also get a wealth of information by subscribing to their newsletter. When we return, more on the subject of vitamin D with Dr. John Cannell. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.